Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, June the 5th, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. The House passes the Dream and Promise Act that could provide a path to citizenship for more than 2 million undocumented immigrants. Also on our rundown, updates on problems with the death penalty and justice for young adults, plus crowdsourcing critical habitat for migrating birds. Topping our news, the U.S. House passed a bill Tuesday that would give permanent citizenship to 2.5 million undocumented immigrants. The final vote was 237 to 187. Vox reports, like most of the rest of the Democratic agenda, it is likely headed to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell's dustbin. The Dream and Promise Act, introduced in March, is an attempt to give a pathway to citizenship to two major groups of immigrants whose legal status President Trump has repeatedly threatened: unauthorized immigrants brought to the U.S. as children, known as Dreamers, and immigrants with temporary humanitarian protections. LGBTQ lawmakers and their supporters have introduced an amendment to the state's Civil Rights Act to add protections for sexual orientation and gender identity in Michigan.
The Elliot Larson Civil Rights Act, passed in 1976, makes it illegal to discriminate in matters of housing, public accommodation, and employment due to religion, race, color, national origin, sex, marital status, age, height, weight, or family status. Sam Englott with the group Progress Michigan says LGBTQ Michiganders also should have legal recourse if they experience discrimination.
To extend civil rights protections to the community will go a long way in holding people accountable and making sure that folks are able to live full lives true to who they are.
The proposal would give LGBTQ people a legal remedy when making a complaint to the state Civil Rights Commission. Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced her support for the amendment, even as Republican leaders in both the House and Senate indicated they do not plan to move this legislation. Similar bills have failed almost a dozen times in Michigan. I'm Suzanne Potter.
The case of an 81-year-old North Carolina man, Charles Ray Finch, released last month after more than 40 years in prison for a 1976 murder he did not commit, spotlights some of the problems with death penalty convictions. Nadia Romligon has our report.
Mr. Finch was convicted and sentenced under what was then a state law that made the death penalty mandatory for certain crimes. On the day he was sentenced, the U.S. Supreme Court declared mandatory death sentences unconstitutional, and Finch was given life in prison. James Coleman, a Duke University law professor and Finch's attorney, says the timing may have saved Finch's life.
If the court had not declared the death penalty unconstitutional, I think there is a very good chance that Ray would have been executed years ago and that we would not have been able to develop the evidence to show that he was innocent.
Coleman says because there was no biological or DNA evidence to prove Finch's innocence, he and a team of attorneys at Duke's Wrongful Convictions Clinic had to reinvestigate the case from the ground up. It took more than 15 years to prove that Finch did not commit the crime. There are now 142 people on death row in North Carolina.
The Fourth Circuit, which overturned the conviction, said the evidence, both old and new, would fail to convince any reasonable juror of Finch's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt. Meantime, Illinois lawmakers, along with state and national judicial leaders, will get an international perspective today on ways to create better outcomes for emerging adults in the justice system.
This group ranges from age 18 to about 25, and according to research, has the highest recidivism rates. Lael Chester with the Columbia University Justice Lab explains the juvenile justice system needs to acknowledge that this age group is developmentally different from older adults.
Youth can do things that are wrong, absolutely. They must be held accountable. But this is a period of tremendous growth and malleability. So the question is, can the society do it in a way that is going to help them grow up, or are we going to do it in a way that hurts them?
The Justice Lab is hosting the forum along with the Juvenile Justice Initiative. Chester says they'll hear from prosecutors, judges, and probation leaders from Germany and Croatia about their policies of using juvenile sentences for emerging adults in trouble with the law. Mary Sherman reporting.
Finally, Eric Galatis tells us birds are helping scientists understand the impacts of rapid population growth and climate change in Colorado, as well as across the West, thanks to a crowdsourced citizen science project.
John Sanderson with the Nature Conservancy in Colorado says when non-scientists capture images of birds and upload them to eBird, a mobile app developed by Cornell University, they're contributing to a growing database that gives scientists and bird fans access to real-time data on populations across the globe.
Birds play critical roles in our ecosystems by eating insects, by distributing seed, and by telling us what changes are happening in these ecosystems.
Sanderson says bird sightings contributed by hundreds of thousands of amateur scientists have helped create a map showing where migrating birds are landing and when they're arriving. He says conservationists and officials can then use that data to prioritize the most important habitat areas to protect.
If you're a bird fan, you can learn more about contributing to the project at eBird.org. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you'll find us online at publicnewsservice.org.